Welcome to Beyond the Morecambe Fringe with me, your host, Matt Patch.
I was speaking to Ribs Norman.
Oh, yeah. She spoke to you. And you said, oh, you're American. I was like, yeah, we're actually living together in Morecambe.
So. That was unbelievable. It was great. It's just like, oh, you need
But that just shows your brain is putting the pieces together absolutely correctly.
Let's talk about your show first up. When is it?
So I'm doing two shows. It's standing at the back, and I'm on the 15th at 7 p.m. and then on Saturday the 16th at 1 p.m. and looking forward to both of those.
And what's the show about, Mel? I mean, last time we saw you, it was your adventures in publishing. That's what I'm going to call it.
That's right. Yeah. It was about the world of work. And this time I've gone a little bit more personal. I mean, that was personal. Because I think in any show, you're looking at the topic through the prism of your own life anyway, aren't you? Yeah. And your own experience.
Yeah.
And so this time I'm looking at feelings of self-worth and self-esteem and how you can kind of feel unworthy and not necessarily actually know that's what's going on. And so it's a little bit about my journey, but I bring in things about, well, it's a lot about my journey, let's be honest. But I bring in things like Morris Rosenberg's scale of self-esteem, which isn't as stuffy as it sounds, at least I hope not the way I do it. And I talk about a bit of history and so it's all kinds of things that I've gleaned over my life. But really, I hope it's an uplifting message, because I want to say, yeah, for anybody who's suffered from that feelings of unworthiness, you know, what I really want to say is, oh, look at me, I'm on a stage. That's not to show off, but I'm on a stage talking to a bunch of strangers. So, you know, you can overcome these things or maybe not overcome, but you don't let them drive your life, and you go and do, so you have some fun with it. If we can't have a laugh about the topic, you know, what are we here for?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to see it. It sounds like it's going to be massively entertaining, but also a bit of a learning experience.
I hope so. I mean, some of it will be learning about what not to do.
I'm always down for that.
that just saves you time. So there we go. Come to my show, I'll save you time.
Well, talking about yourself, though, I mean, you as a performer, I really do find incredibly authentic. I know it's such a buzzword at the moment, but you are your authentic self on stage.
And oh my God, thank you.
And it comes across really, really well and really, really warm and genuine. And the audiences, I think, really respond to that.
Thank you, because I always want to be like that. I mean, as comedians, I think we're always trying to be the best versions of ourselves. But I want to be somebody that, I teach public speaking skills in my daytime. And what I say to people is, you know, think of it as a pub test. If you went to the pub with the person that you're listening to speaking, would you get the same person? And I like to think you get as much of me as possible if we went to the pub together. I think it's incumbent upon you to be authentic, unless you're playing a character, in which case that's a very different thing. Yeah. But I'm just trying to be the nicest me I can be, so we can have a laugh together, because I do think it's a kind of collective experience. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm doing a one-person show, I don't like to talk at the audience. I like to read the room and hopefully we'll have a collective experience. I mean, you know that as a performance poet as well. You know, you want to have a collective experience. It was Ken Dodd, wasn't it, who said that comedy is always a double act between you and the audience.
You know what? I've not heard that. That's fantastic.
Great man.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm not Ken Dodd. My show doesn't last 4.5 hours. So I just everybody to know that.
I mean, he did do 4.5 hour shows, didn't he? He was famous for, like,
absolutely people not being able to leave because the car park had closed. So, I won't do that to you in Morecambe, I promise.
Well, it's a short and snappy, you know, 1 hour show.
Absolutely.
When it comes to your day job, then, public speaking, which it's not a million miles away from what you're doing as an evening job. Exactly. And how did you get into it? Did one lead to the other naturally, or?
Sort of. I mean, and also my day job when I had like a proper job. Do you remember that? Those days we had proper jobs and salaries and stuff. I mean, I worked in publishing, working in marketing and selling, and I managed people, and I worked, and I did a lot of presenting, and I also, you know, mentored people doing presenting and so on. And I just did. I did definitely see it as a marriage of my performance and what I used to do in my job, and a way to really help people, because as you know, my last show was all about let's improve the workplace. Yeah. This was my contribution. And so it's been really helpful. I know a lot of people come to me, especially people who do what they think is boring, like finance, and say, help me to present in a zingy kind of way. And we do work on that, but I still want them to be authentic, to use that word again. So yeah, there is definitely a crossover. And so it's a lot of fun. And people say, oh, I can't do what you do. You stand on stage. And I go, well, yes, you can. You don't have to do the way I do it. You don't have to do exactly what I do, but you definitely have the skills. So, yeah, that's my job.
That's great. And now you're taking the show to Edinburgh. Are you doing a full run up at Edinburgh?
No, I'm just doing two and a little bit weeks. I'm doing from the 3rd to the 19th, so just over 2 weeks. I don't know if I have the stamina these days, Matt.
Two and a little bit weeks is near as damn a full run.
I think it is, and I know from experience of having done the full run that by the end of week two, so about that Friday when I do my last show, my energy would start to flag a bit, and then you have to kind of pick yourself up to get yourself through the last week. So I kind of feel like it's a little bit like going out on a high for me. Right. and then before Morecambe, this coming Friday I'm in Tunbridge Wells, and then after Edinburgh I'm in Watford and Faversham. So I'll be doing other fringes as well, but yeah, shorter, like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you populate your summer with fringe performances? Is there a lifetime for these shows outside of the fringe or fringe?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm certainly 2019 when I first did Morecambe, I didn't do Edinburgh at all. My whole summer was doing loads of other fringes because there isn't just Edinburgh. But I think if you're doing Edinburgh, you want to just balance that right. So you're doing enough other fringes to practice, but at the same time, not so many you're wearing yourself out. Yeah. I was up in Manchester in 2019, and so it's a lot because I live in London, you know, it's a lot of traveling. So I think there are lots more fringes, and I guess it does pose a question about Edinburgh, you know, and Edinburgh is like this huge beast, and then you come to somewhere like Morecambe, but I've got to say good things about Morecambe, not just because I'm talking to you, but because I believe it. You come to somewhere like Morecambe and it's just like, I don't know, it's just like walking into a friend's living room, and it's just a lovely feeling, and chatting to the audience in a way you wouldn't necessarily get at Edinburgh, because everybody is moving on to something else very quickly. And at Morecambe we have chat, and it's just lovely. And even just hanging around outside the West End Playhouse or bumping into them in the shop where they're buying their beer. there's just something familial about it, and lovely and warm. And those are the kind of fringes that, if I'm honest, I like best. That's right. Don't tell Edinburgh. Don't think they might.
No, they don't. Well, it's like, you know, living in a small hamlet and then going to London, the big city, isn't it? It's that very much, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not too sure how many shows are up at Edinburgh this year, but 2019, which we'll consider the last one proper, as it were, you know, there were over 4,000 shows there on a daily basis, which is just,
I mean, as an audience member, how do you even make a choice, you know? And whereas at Morecambe, you know, we've got this lovely brochure and you've done a very nice job with everything listed, and it's like, okay, this is all manageable, there'll be something for everybody, and it's just, I don't know, it's just such a warm place. And you know, the other fringe I go to down in Kent, Faversham, Ribs, who runs that, is also coming up to Morecambe. Yeah. I mean, that's again the same kind of thing, you know, small number of venues, very familial, very warm, and get regular people just coming for the fun of it for the weekend. And that's great fun.
Thank you very much indeed, Mel. I can't wait to see you. And your show's on the 15th of July at 7 p.m. and Saturday the 16th of July at 1 p.m. both at the West End Playhouse. It's going to be wonderful seeing you.
Lovely. Can't wait, Matt. Thanks ever so much.
what is the show and when's it on?
So the show is called Smorgasbord, and it's on the 16th of July at 7 p.m. at the Playhouse.
At the Playhouse, great stuff. Wonderful. Decent time slot as well. And is it a bunch of comedians?
Yeah, it's three of us coming over, from Yorkshire. And we're all a little bit different, hence the name Smorgasbord. There were originally four of us, but one of us can't make it. So we're all a little bit different from each other, and we just thought we'd put on a bit of a show of what's happening over in Yorkshire.
Nice. At the moment. So, whereabouts in Yorkshire? Are you all from the same place? Or are you...
No, I'm from Dewsbury in West Yorkshire. Home of 2008 Celebrity Mum of the Year, Karen Matthews. My good friend, Johnny Brook, who's also on a bill, lives just the other side of Wakefield in a place called South Emsall. And then we have Susie Frost, who's down in Sheffield. So we've got sort of Western and South Yorkshire catered for very well. So, yeah.
Right, so we're going to get a good look at the whole of Yorkshire.
We haven't got anyone from like East Riding because, you know, those guys don't, we don't roll with them. North Yorkshire can look after themselves as well. They're all a bit too upper class for us. So.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to it. So what's your plans for the show? Are you taking this to Edinburgh as a mixed bill, or do you?
No, we're just having a dabble at sort of some of the sort of maybe the less well known sort of local municipal kind of festivals. None of us are going to Edinburgh this year, and none of us have ever been before. We've all been going for a similar amount of time, sort of a fewer than 4 years between. You know, I started in, Johnny and I started at a really similar time in 2018. I think Sue started after that, and we just thought, you know, none of us have quite enough status, or maybe none of us have written a full show.
Yeah.
But we all have, in our opinion, really good, solid sort of 20-minute sets that are good club-style sets.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And if we kind of joined forces, we could put on a good hour that showcases what we can do and gives us a little bit of experience of what it's like to go and do a show as part of a wider fringe and so on. So it's just a bit of a toe in the water for us as a first call, really.
That's great.
Maybe next year or year after, we might go elsewhere and, you know, do a bit longer. Johnny and I have got plans to maybe do a two-hander at some point as well and just stretch it out.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Are you gigging regularly then?
Yeah, so I'm married with kids and I have a full-time job still, so I don't gig as often as perhaps I would like from a sort of a progression point of view, but considering we've all been going a relatively short amount of time and we've had COVID, we've all hit a nice sort of level. Johnny and I are sort of just breaking into the weekend club circuit now, and Sue's is, she's probably about a year behind that because of where she's at in her career, but she's definitely going to get there. So it's just nice for us to kind of get out and do something together. It's just a bit of a little different experience. But yeah, I've just, if I look knackered today, it's because I've just done three late nights in a row gigging all over the place. So it's what I want to be doing. But it does take a toll when you've got a family and a full-time job as well. So,
well, it does. I think it was Russell Kane was saying, you know, this is your university equivalent, 3 years on the road,
late nights,
doing that. You know, it's the university education. It's great.
Absolutely,
you're getting there and doing it. And this is the career option. This is what you want to be doing.
Certainly for me, I'd love to be able to do it and have it as my main source of income. And I think Johnny's definitely in that place as well. I'm not so sure about Sue's. I think she's still at that stage where she's finding her feet and we'll make her mind up about that. But I think pre-COVID, I was looking at it and thinking, well, if I carry on with this sort of level of progression, in a few years' time, maybe I could go part-time at work and try and transition. And then I think that COVID and the horrible time that really established, successful, fully professional comics had should give anyone who's thinking of making the move pause for thought and just make sure that, you know, you're in a position to do it. You know, if I was 25 and I didn't have kids and a mortgage, then it would be a no-brainer. You know, I'm fully in the midlife crisis mode now, and you know, and I've still got a mortgage, and you know, and diesel costs a chuffing fortune. So it's just having that sort of reality aspect, I suppose, of I'd love to do it. It would be, if someone said to me now, I could guarantee you just enough to cover the bills and feed yourself, and all you have to do is gig, I'd bite your hand off. Yeah. But we all know that's never guaranteed. So
No, absolutely not. So do you get to your gigs on your new flash motorbike, or how?
No, I wish. It's the worst, I tell you what, it is the weakest midlife crisis ever. I drive a Ford Mondeo and I've got a roof box. It's poor from that point of view. But you know, sensible family car, that's it, with a dog normally in the back. So
about the comedy then? So why I mean, I'm presuming that you've come to it later in life as well.
Johnny's a similar age to me. He and I gig together a lot. We hit the road together a lot, and both for different reasons came to it quite late. My story would be that I always fancied having a go, but I always bottled it. From the point of view of, if I'm assuming we can't swear on this, so I'll keep it clean. If I died on my backside, I knew it would crush me. If like the first time I got on stage, I wanted the ground to swallow me up, that would be it. Because all my mates would always say, and Johnny's had this as well, you should be on the stage the way you are down the pub and all this. And I know, I'm not naive enough to not know that it's very, very different bouncing off your mates with a beer inside you than it is on the stage on your own. My mum died 14 years ago. And I did loads of fundraising for cancer as a result. I did loads of running, and I did the Great North Run and London Marathon and loads of 10Ks and stuff like that, despite the fact that I'm a big old fat so-and-so. And I suddenly thought, well, I can't keep asking people for money just for me to haul my lardy bum around London or wherever. And then my uncle, I was up in Glasgow, and he said, why have you never done stand-up comedy? You'd be natural at it. And I just said, because I'm scared to. And he just went, no, you only live once, just do it. And within a week of that, I saw a tweet from somebody I knew on Twitter who locally had done a course. It turned out it was a charity course for Cancer Research UK, and it all added up. And I thought, do you know what? If I'm awful, I can at least raise a few quid, and I've done something that I wanted to have a go at. And thankfully, I wasn't awful, and I got that bug, you know, that laughter's like my crack, and you know, it's that always chasing the next high, I suppose. So that was it, and you know, said to my wife, you know, I did that one gig. I think I'd like to do some more, and then. That's it, and now I'm promoting my own nights in pubs around Yorkshire and out gigging all the time. And so the smorgasbord is me as an act, but also me as a promoter putting it out there. So yeah,
that's great. So so you've got several pubs, have you?
I've got at the moment I think 5 regular monthly nights. I've got a couple in the offing, and a couple that are sort of every now and again they'll get in touch and say, should we do another night? So that's quite nice, and that's all around West Yorkshire, really. So from Leeds, Huddersfield, Halifax, Bingley, I've got sort of places all over.